Can I ask a favor of one of the men in the back? Can we see if there's a piece of paper on the printer, in the printer, standing next to the printer holding a coffee? Any piece of paper will do. Specifically if it has the second page of my notes on it. Did I say 1 Corinthians 17? It's verse 11, by the way. I'm so sorry. I'm waiting on it. Verse 11. Or chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 17. He was up there talking about how he's scattered brain. He didn't know he'd demonstrate. It says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and do drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come." The elements of the Lord's Supper, the practice of the Lord's Supper, is not a very difficult thing to do. If I were to write a checklist of all the things I need to get, it's a relatively easy thing to do, right? Just unleavened bread, wine, and there's a particular point, but you get those elements. I need the local church, our church, together for it, right? All right, so I've got those things, right? There's the breaking of the bread. There's the passing of the wine, right? And then oftentimes, you know, we'll get fancy as the Lord's churches. We'll read in these verses while we're doing that. That's not a complicated task. But yet they forgot. They were forgetting key elements as well as perverting other elements in the process. You know, it's hard to forget things. I hate forgetting things, don't you? Somebody said that they, what was it? Two guys, they were talking. Again, my brain's already slipping. Two guys were talking. And the one guy says to the other guy, hey brother, how's that memory of yours going? He goes, oh, it's good. They got me on a new medication for my memory. And he goes, oh, what's it called? And he goes, what is it? There's a flower. You give it to people that you love. It's red. It's got thorns. And the guy goes, Rose? He goes, yeah, Rose, what's the name of that medication I'm on? President Biden, our fearless leader, was going to bed when he saw his wife take a pill. He asked her, what was that? She explained that it was a multivitamin that she used to make herself look and feel younger. You ever buy some of those? Let me know if they work. I don't think there's a single pill that could help me do both of those things. Some of us need a little bit more help. But he got all excited because he got so tired of everyone picking on his memory and how he talks publicly. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to take me some of those pills. Ends up taking the whole bottle. Later on, early the next morning, the Secret Service finds him out on the sidewalk in front of the White House. Mr. President, what are you doing? He just kind of looked over innocently. I'm waiting for the school bus. I'm kidding. He wouldn't go to those schools. But losing your memory can be a hard pill to swallow. And you know what? I've got some great memories. I do. And I know about you've got some great memories as well. Things that have happened that have made you laugh. Things that have happened that have made you smile. And things that have made you proud. We all have those and they're good to examine. One of my favorite memories of my mom got into selling candles. Roughly right around the same time we got into airsoft rifles. It was bad. She told us one day, she goes, listen, she goes, if you guys put one more BB in one of my 3-wick candles, you're going to pay for it. Oh, yeah, well, dutifully, as a teenager does, we completely ignored her. Well, we're sitting there one day, not having completely realized that mom's taking a little bit longer getting home than normal. She goes through that door, and we do the thing that most people do, at least what my brother and I did. When we knew mom or dad was about 45 minutes from the house, we jumped up, rapidly did all the chores they asked us to do during the day during that summer break. So we were sweating, panting, we sat down, whoo! And then we relaxed, and then we congratulated ourselves on being done so much the faster. And then when we heard that side door just kind of creak open, just boom, we look over, and there's my mom with a battery-powered machine gun airsoft rifle. We had just enough time to look over and realize what was about to happen before she unleashed fury. Now, we didn't have goggles, we didn't have sweaters, we didn't have helmets, we didn't have any of the things she preferred to have us on. Nothing between our bare skin and my mother's righteous anger. Let it all pour out on us. You know what? I laugh about that. I think that's hilarious. And I grew up, and it was probably about 10 years later, we had a friend go over to their house because he got a brand new paintball gun. And he didn't know anybody else with a big enough yard where he could practice that thing. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking over at my mom as she says, well, let me hang on to that for you. If you went to the Bible conference, that's Tim. He was the song leader, right? Well, here, I'll shoot you if you want to go down there. Both me and my brother, we went in the house. We saw this before. He didn't get 5 steps away before mom just da-da-da-da-da-da. I love my mama, but she ain't right sometimes. But we have those memories. We love those memories. We cherish those memories. You get to around with, we share those memories. Memories can be wonderful things. What we're doing when we take the Lord's Supper is we are reliving a memory we weren't there for. And that is a wonderful thing. That's what we're doing. We're getting together and we're showing the crucifixion of Christ in what we're doing. It is a participation event. It is not something we can just sit back. It is something we're all involved in. Well, brother, I just sit there and partake of the elements. It's not a matter of what job you have, right? Some people, they got to pass the plates. Some people got to pass the cups. I'm not talking about that. We all participate in the most important thing, and that is the sweet spirit of remembering what the Lord Jesus Christ did together. But there were problems. As what happens when you've got something good, sometimes things fall apart. Now, what we're seeing here is a few things. One, they were using the supper as kind of a time to feed themselves. And I've read through this and read through this and read through this. And believe me, I've looked through it. And here's the connotation I'm kind of getting out of this. That they were having suppers together. And doesn't that sound nice? On a Tuesday afternoon, just getting together, share some casseroles. And I looked at that and go, that's pretty cool. I like that. And then maybe somebody would be like, well, let's take the Lord's Supper while we're here. Or maybe they would make whatever they're eating and say, well, this is the Lord's Supper. Either way, there was a breakdown in what they were doing. What started off as just a get-together turned into, well, while we're getting together, let's have the Lord's Supper. And they were doing it wrong. The elements were all wrong. One, you see that, as he first comes out with, is that there are divisions among you. Later on, he would go to point out in there, that there are separations. Some of you having eaten so much. And then he makes a reference to people who have nothing at all. Even pointing out people that are there that are hungry. Now, forgive me. I've been a member of a church for a while, and I kind of know how people can get sometimes. So allow me to daydream for a little bit. Follow me on this. Let's imagine we're all getting together, and we're all responsible for bringing our own food. Right? So whoever you are, wherever you are, you're going to bring your family's food. And then, of course, if you've got some friends, maybe you can come up with a plan. And that's what he's talking about with the divisions. One, there's probably some kind of heretical division going on there. There's probably some kind of financial division going on over there, right? So there's a bunch of people getting together. All right, you bring the steaks, you bring the potatoes, and you bring the fine wine, and you bring this over here, and you bring that. And they've got this nice spread over here at our table. And then over here at this table over here, where the people who might not agree with our bit of theology that we've injected into the church, and maybe this group up here that's not quite the it crowd, they're over here with some crackers and whatever it is they could bring from home. Now, again, I'm not sitting there saying that, you know the model I would go with for our fellowships. You know what it is. We all bring the food. We all enjoy the food together. I think that's the best way to do it. They were doing it all wrong. There were divisions, there were seating charts, there were people that only sat next to each other, and people who only talked with each other, and that's a huge mistake. There were divisions among them, and most of the time, if there's divisions in a church, it has to do with money, acceptance, right? As we said, those that are acceptable, money, acceptance, or a difference in theological thinking. Those that hold doctrines outside of what the church stands for. Either way, we've got a huge problem here. There ought not to be divisions among us. I jokingly said this, that I had a friend, I still have him, but right before we would take the Lord's Supper, sometime that week or the week prior, we would get together knowing it was coming, and we would apologize for making fun of each other. Just, hey, listen, I'm sorry I called you a jumbo jerk last week. Well, you didn't call me a jumbo jerk. Oh, I must have just been thinking it. I'm sorry. And just, Yahtzee. And we would just have that time of just kind of, you know, not trying to be disrespectful, but we would just kind of have that time together and joking fellowship. Hey, listen, I'm sorry I called you ugly. You didn't call me ugly. That must have just been your wife. I'm sorry. And we just kind of joking about that. But you know what really happens sometimes? There were times growing up when me and that kid, we weren't necessarily getting along. So, barring anything to joke about, we'd have to get together and talk about the real stuff. Hey, listen, you know, we were out there working in the yard a couple weeks ago, and I'm sorry I put this off for so long, but you said that, and that bothered me. I just want to let you know that this has been on my heart, and I'm sorry for holding a grudge. I'm sorry for not coming to you. And he'd sit there and say, well, brother, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say that, or I didn't mean that connotation to it. I want you to know I love you, I respect you, and I'm so sorry. And we would just walk away as friendship. Right now, sometimes people would get things together, they would patch things together in a church, but there would still be that emotional rift there. There would be a scar. Brother Charlie was showing us some of the tears in the carpet up here. And you think about that, that is still good carpet, is it not? For the most part, we've got really good carpet. What does it need? Does it need to be ripped out, torn away, put brand new in there? No, what does it need? It needs a repair. We need to take out the parts that are frayed and destroyed. Right, I've seen carpet repair people do this. They've got this little steam thing. They put a little cloth down and what do? They meld the pieces back together. They put that rift closer back together. And as long as you catch it before it becomes a bigger problem, it's repairable. If we don't get those things fixed, right, what's going to happen? It's going to get bigger. It's going to get bigger and someone's going to fall. Right? Not the kids, who cares, they're going to fall anyway, but one of us is going to fall. Right? I joke about that, but there's divisions that can form in a church, and we don't notice they're there until it's too late. Was that not what we were saying back there? Brother Charlie goes, how could you not see it? And now I'm looking at it going, now that I see it, I can't unsee it. It's the only thing I see. Divisions in a church can be just like that. Thank you for that illustration, brother. You didn't know you were doing that, but... it's starting to fall apart. It's starting to unravel. Things are falling apart. Why? Because you said, and I thought, and I heard, and we don't take that time to come together. The number one thing that every church needs to understand is that you are not the tops. You're not the best. You are never so high that you're higher than your brother or sister in Christ. You're not. I've said that before about titles. I've said that before about people who get importance. Somebody told me this time, hey, if the pastor won't lead the church, it's always the person with the biggest mouth or the biggest pocketbook that runs the church. And I go, whoa, because I've got a big mouth. No, whoa. And you know what? A lot of churches closed down, and you know why they closed down? You know who's left? It's the person with the big pocketbook and the big mouth, and everybody left. Why? Because we weren't doing ministry. We weren't doing anything ecclesiastical. We weren't doing any growing. We weren't doing any learning. We would get together in the services. We were just waiting for them to be over. A church dies. Why? Because it puts people in place of the Father. It does. And what we need to do is we need to kind of come off of our high horse and get down with the brethren, get down with the sisters in Christ. Let's all be at the same level or there will be divisions. Right now, I'm sitting here. I've known some of you. I honestly could not tell you which one of us is rich and which one of us is not. I know it's not me. Right? Lord has blessed me. The Lord is good. I tell you what, if I need food, it's in the refrigerator. If I need gas, it's in the car. I've got all the things I need. I'm satisfied. But I tell you what, if they ever start selling tickets to the moon, I'm not going to be on it. Right? And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with where the Lord put me. But you know what? The money can sometimes do it. I can't tell you who's got money, who doesn't have money, but I'll tell you this, money sometimes does it. And it's not necessarily the folks with it that are the problem. Sometimes it's those that do not have it, that look at what everybody else has, and they feel inferior, or they get mad. Well, they got this, and they can do that. I don't think that's... You get caught up in the wrong stuff, and divisions happen before you even know it. I'll tell you this, the average church member does not realize the danger of their words. What do you say? How do you say that? Because I've seen some of the things and heard some of the things that folks have said, and they still don't talk to each other. I've been to churches where the root of bitterness is ground so deep into the church, it's a wonder it hasn't torn out the foundation of it. Right? You'll walk in. I've walked into churches and they were cold. Right? I was down south. It was 100 degrees out, it felt like. Right? In my northern blood, I just didn't like it. I walked into the church, and I tell you, it was still hot inside, but it was the coldest experience I've ever had. Now listen, when I see people come into the door of our church, hey, I'm so glad to see all of you. I am, because I keep expecting one of the days you're going to get sick with me and you're going to walk away. But could you imagine this? This is how I say hello. To everybody. Now that catches my attention. Doesn't that catch your attention? What'd I do? What'd the church do? What was that verse that we read? What'd God do to turn you so cold? What happened? William. All right, well, it was very nice to see you. Huh? What happened? What's bothering you? Is it personal? Is it in the church? What can we do? Don't worry about it. Well, now I am. Christian's not supposed to worry about it, but you want to make a pastor worry, tell him not to worry about it. Caspian got me today. He came into the house. He was outside playing. He came into the house. He was running around. He was so excited. He goes, the neighbor's coming over. And he ran back outside. I'm sitting there. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Danielle's outside. It's fine. Just keep doing what you're doing. I was working on something. Just keep doing what you're doing. He came in. I didn't see him, and that's the scary part. When you don't see him, and they say something like this, oh, she's really going to love this. I still have no idea what happened out there, but it scared me. Don't ever come into a situation and say, don't worry about it. Well, I don't have to worry about it if we just take care of it, right? I can't tell you how many times I've done that to Danielle. I'll be fixing something. No! She'll come in, what? Nothing, it's fine. What that? I mean, that is a lie that belies the truth. It tells the truth in the lie. There's something wrong, and the only way to fix it is what? To drag out what's going on. Now listen, you don't have to embarrass people. We don't have to get all the dirty details out there. But hey, listen, if we've got this issue going on, let's grab a hold of this thing and take care of it. Right? We had that bat down in the basement. What was the problem? Bat in basement. It wasn't about how I felt about the bat, how some of the ladies in the church felt about the bat. It wasn't whether men or I in the church were ready to go get the bat or not. What was the problem? Bat in basement. How do I fix the problem? Get bat out. Everything else is just logistics, right? How do I solve that problem? But too many people, they get all excited. Well, I tell you what, if Brother So-and-so didn't leave the window open, I tell you what, if the pastor took a little bit more care with what was going down in the basement, if he had any idea what was going on in this church, there never would be any bats inside the basement. We could do that. We kind of chuckle at that, but some churches are like that. Every little problem, hey, the blind slat fell out of this thing in the window over here. Well, that's that pastor not caring about whether or not we got blinds. That's Brother So-and-so not paying attention to the blinds. That's that family over there's kids. They just go whipping around. They don't care about the blind slats. And we all the blame we can. And yet when we ask, hey, is everything okay? Oh, no, don't worry about it. It's fine. Well, you seem really aggressive there about the window dressings. No. It's fine. It's not fine. As divisions, as strife, you're holding something in. And you know what? Sometimes you got to get that stuff out before it comes out on its own. You got a choice. You ever let something out that you didn't mean to let out? Typically that happens between spouses, right? You just, oh! And then you go, I didn't even mean that. And you almost want to call it, I've done that before, I almost want to call a timeout with Danielle. Hey, sweetheart, can we just... That was. Can I just take that back? I'm just gonna put that. And you can't do that, of course. Once the words are out there, they're on the wall. Well, time out. You can't. Let's fix it. Hey, listen. What I said there, I never meant it. Hey, what I did there, I was a mistake. I wasn't thinking, or I was thinking, but I didn't think the right things. My heart was wrong. My head was wrong, and I'm sorry. There's no excuse for it. Please forgive me. And you know what we do? It's done. This should be. And we talked about that this morning, to be a good forgiver, right, with David, right, to be able to forgive somebody well, I need to have kindness on my sleeve. I need to practice kindness so that when something like that happens, I can just say, okay, all right, it's not worth it. It's not worth me hanging on to the bitterness, right, so I can feel some kind of emotional thrill from my adrenal glands because I'm angry. Let it go. Joy is a lot more precious than the excitement or the dopamine release of being angry. There's also other issues where some people were getting there early and eating everything up. They were having fun. Like many of them, they had eaten much or they had brought much. And then we even see later on in the scripture where it says, wait for one another. Could you imagine that? We're taking the Lord's Supper. And I've got the bread already. I've got the wine out. And Sister Delberta, she gets here. She gets here first. She goes, you know what? I skipped lunch today. I'm going to get me a big old piece of that. I'm going to go sit down. Right? Brother Tim, he comes over. He goes, well, I'm not much for the bread, but I'll take a couple of these little cups with me. And, you know, my family comes in. And, of course, we've got the kids. We just let them go in there and grab whatever they want. We go sit down. And we take the Lord's Supper over in our pew. And by the time poor Brother Steve gets here, who got stuck at the gas station because the little handle thing wouldn't snap. Don't you hate that? You fill your car up with gas and the handle thing doesn't collect, so it just holds there. You got to put your hand there. So he's stuck at the gas station. By the time he gets there, there's nothing there. And my family, we're full. And Brother Tim's pew has had something to drink. Brother Steve walks in, there's nothing there. Now, of course, I firmly believe that in that connotation, they were talking about both the food and the taking of the Lord's Supper there. There's just, we didn't think about each other. We just got here and just started having at it, and we didn't really care who was all here. What the main picture of what Jesus Christ showed here was the unity of His church. We were all here. Well, brother, we've never done anything like that. What are you preaching against? What I'm preaching against is showing respect in what we're doing. I've said this before, a church that does not take the Lord's Supper often enough forgets the importance. A church that takes it too often forgets its value. You following me on this? I've known churches, we take it every Sunday. All right, well, what does it mean to you? Are you as careful? Are you as mindful as you remember it of it? I don't think so. Right? I called attention to that that religious organization behind us where you could take the Lord's Supper through the drive-through of the church. Just the priest just kind of sat there on the little step and he just kind of whizzed by and he tossed it up into the car or however he did it and they took off. No unity, no picture. Can we really have remembrance? And I hate to think this way, but it is false religion. I can imagine some of them, they go through there, they get the Lord's Supper, they slap it back real fast, they go on over, they head through the Wendy's drive-thru, they get that, they go on home, and continue to have the day that they were going to have anyway. No stopping, no reflection, no thought, no togetherness. All it is a form, what the Bible says, a form of godliness. But it's not really godliness. It doesn't hold up to it. It is not a matter of me ever being afraid that a Baptist church would turn the Lord's Supper into a glorified fellowship. I think we're going to maintain the decency in a lot of our churches. I really do. My bigger concern is that we would begin to lose its value. We would begin to lose the importance of it. Right? You go to any of the big churches out there. So you go to a Catholic church. It's very regimented. There's rules. There's ups. There's downs. There's going overs. There's the wiping of the cups. There's all this symbolism. But what is the meaning to the person there? And even in the way that they teach it, because this was not the first bit of silliness that entered into religion as far as taking the Lord's Supper go. Again, picking on our Catholic friends again, they firmly believe that as you are taking and chewing the bread, it is becoming the Lord's body. Now, is that what he said? No. What he said, it was allegorical, it was a metaphorical, this is my body. Well, how do you know that? Because it was his body giving the bread. It was bread. They'd gotten it from the inn. Unleavened bread of the past. Here, take this. This is my body. It's a representation. The wine did not become his blood at that table. Again, it's a representation. This is what this is. At no time does he say, now as you chew, this will become my body. He didn't say that. It was a metaphor of what? Remembrance. Remember it as this. This represents that. So that way, what's about to take place will be held in your memory as often as you take this together. Right? They allowed that in somehow, and now they teach it. And if you got the Lutherans that teach kind of a diet version of that, and it just kind of goes on down the line to where the Lord's Supper is just a thing that you do and not anything that really holds to any kind of remembrance. Right? I think about it like this. Memorial Day. I love Memorial Day. Don't you love Memorial Day? Can I ask a question? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to answer. Anybody actually go to a military graveyard for Memorial Day? Now, I'm not shaming anybody. I've never gone to one. I don't plan on taking any kids there either. Do we? No, what is it? It's a day that we understand the reasoning of, and we'll take the day off from work, and we'll barbecue out on the grill, and we'll say some patriotic things. And in the church the day before, we'll have some military people stand up. Hey, if you're in the military, stand up. We'll honor them. But there is a disassociation in America from Memorial Day and the thing we're supposed to be remembering. My greatest fear is not that someone would bring tacos and pizza and fried chicken next Sunday. That's not my fear. I know that's not going to happen. That's not what I'm preaching on. What I'm preaching on is this, is that we would sit in our pews, partake of the Lord's Supper, and it mean the very minimal to us. I am doing this because that new pastor wants us to do it. I'm doing that because that's what a Baptist does. I'm doing it because the Lord told me to. I'm doing this to participate in a living monument to what the Lord Jesus Christ did to me. This is my response to what he's done in my life, ought to be our attitude. This is me taking a moment in thankful remembrance for that sacrifice on the cross. We see also in there in many ways that they treated it like a competition of who could get there first. Sometimes churches can evolve into that too, or devolve into that too, where all of a sudden it's like, well, I got all my sins done. Brother so-and-so, you get all your sins taken care of? You know what? I know my family's ready. How about your family? You having issues over there? You know those so-and-sos over there, you know they got problems, right? We had a church members that would come, and I grew up as there. I was probably 9, 10 years old, and I looked over, and there was this couple, and one day I saw them sitting on opposite sides of the pew. And of course, you know the gossip that went along with that. Oh, you know they had a fight. I wonder what it was about. I bet it was about his weight. I bet it was about the money that she spends. I bet. Don't ask anybody what the sermon was on that night. Gossip. Oh, I bet. It's a competition in some churches. Who is the highest? Who is the best? Who's the most holy? That's not it. Right? And it says that those that are approved. And then he linked that with the word heresies. Oh, those that walk in and you're a part of the ones. I hate churches that have the ones. Right? Now, I don't see that here. I don't. I really don't. And if you are the, one of the ones, step down. Right? But there's we don't do anything unless Deacon so-and-so says we're going to do it. Well, yeah, but the pastor, he's been there the longest, and Sister so-and-so, she really rules the roost on such and such. No. No. Father, what would you say to my life? Father, what should I do with my sin? And you know what? If a brother or sister in Christ is struggling, Lord, help me to put my hand in there to help them out. Well, give me the verses I can share with them. Give them an open heart, Lord, to accept your word. We ought to look at each other in care and compassion and love and concern, not sitting there going, well, you know, when you believe what I believe. Aren't you so good to be able to divine doctrine that God put black and white in front of everybody's lap? Aren't you so wise? There ought to be no divisions. There ought to be no competitions among us. See, the Lord's Supper is not about you. It's not. Right? Whether you're the one breaking the bread or you're the one there receiving it, whether you're the ushers passing it around, you are not the supper. You're not the purpose of the supper. The Lord Jesus Christ is. It is Him we focus on. That breaking of His body, that shedding of His blood, and oh, that resurrection that came later. It's about all of those things. And my gratitude to Him and my praise to Him and my adoration to Him for those things. We take those things as a living memorial to what He has done. See, remembering in this case is not simply the recalling of historical facts. It is a participation in spiritual realities. At the Lord's table, we do not walk around a monument and admire it. We don't take pictures of ourselves in front of it. That's not the kind of memorial it is. I think we were one of the last classes that got to go to Washington, D.C. before they shut it down for 9/11. That was so cool. All those cool monuments, all the amazing things. You know, America is a beautiful country. We've got some beautiful monuments and beautiful statues to remember things. That's not what we're doing when we're taking the Lord's Supper. We are actively participating in it. And we are showing. Isn't that what He said? It doesn't say you're just remembering. It doesn't say you're just having some kind of thought process about it. He says you are showing. You are the monument. Monument to you? No, monument to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you put that bread in your mouth, you are showing Him. When you put that cup in your mouth, you are showing Him. It is now no longer about you, which again is why we need to get our sins straight before we take it. Right? I've sat and I've had arguments with people over whether it should be wine or grape juice. And those people, they'll battle back and forth. Wine, grape juice. This shows the more purity. And not a one of them really get concerned about the purity right here. Now, I haven't changed my mind. It's still wine. But it's just, they'll argue back and forth. Oh, what about the main thing? Is this pure? Is this as pure as the wine is? Right? I'm all for using wine in the Lord's Supper. That's absolutely the picture that we see there. But more pure than the wine should be your heart. So that when I walk in, it's not about brother so-and-so. It's not about sister so-and-so. It's not about how they're cheating their kids or how they settled their retirement. It has nothing to do with those and everything to do with your heart and being ready to show the Lord's death in your actions. We leave all of our cares, all of our concerns on the outside of those doors. We walk in and everything is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is about Him. Now, this is going to be a little bit different because normally there's the part where I come down and we have the singers come on and we're going to do that. But I wanted to kind of go over the plan for next week while we're doing this. Is that okay? A little unorthodox, but it's much better than going in there and not being able to figure it out. What I'm going to do, because it's going to be a little bit different with everything going on. I know some of us are concerned, so we're going to make things a little bit different, but keep it as same as possible. There won't be ushers passing around the food. What I'm going to do is mask, gloves, food service gloves. I'm going to break bread, put it on a napkin. I'm going to have a cup of the wine there. We're going to go row by row, have you folks come in. All the symbolism needs to be there, right? Me breaking the bread. I'd love to read verses while I'm doing that. I will prepare the elements. We'll go row by row to collect the items. You'll come in, you'll grab yours, you'll go sit down. We'll read a little bit more, and now we'll take the bread. We'll read a little bit, now we'll take the wine. I will have two ushers, if I can get two men to pop your hand up real quick. Action time, Brother Mark, Brother Mike. Everybody else, you're too slow. Next week, we'll catch you the next time we do this. Just remember you had your hand up. Basically what you'll do is you'll kind of get behind a row, invite them to go up. Once you come in, I'd like you to come down the center, grab the elements, go back to your seat from the side, and we'll just continue to have people go in and around just like that. We'll read, take an element. Read, take an element. Now, I've been told this before, and maybe some of you can fix me on this if I heard it wrong, but the home church does this a little bit differently than Flat Rock, from what I understand, in that on the day you take the Lord's Supper, it's more of a quiet thing. There are short words that are spoken. The majority of the service is dedicated to the taking of the Lord's Supper. Is that correct? And Brother Gunnell's even said that at the end of it, we all file out singing a hymn. Is that we're going to do that. That's how we're going to finish that. We're going to come in, I'll say some words, I'll come down, I'll break the elements, you'll collect the elements, I'll read, you'll take one, we'll read, we'll take the other one, and then at the conclusion of it, we'll pray and file out singing a hymn, and we'll make that hymn available, Brother Tim. You and I'll have to get together. We'll pick a hymn that's appropriate for that. And we'll announce that before we begin. So you'll have that ready. And then hymn on our way out. I think that'd be a really respectful way to do it. I think that's a safe way to do it without compromising anything or anybody. And I'll have all of that there. I'll prepare the elements myself with my gloved hands, so that way it's safe. Now, for those of you that aren't as concerned as others, you don't have anything to worry about because it's just as safe as, well, safer than if you went to McDonald's, so that's fine. Don't worry about it. And for those of us that think that there's more safety things that we can do, let me know. Just let me know in private. Hey, brother, have you thought about this? We'll go with that. I'm not wearing a hairnet, though. But that is how I'd like for that to go. I believe that would be it. But here's the most important and the very most important part. See, all the elements are ready. I know exactly what needs to be done. I've got everything all set. The only thing I can't control is what goes on outside this heart and outside these hands. You know what my week's going to be like? Inward reflection. Isn't that what Paul said there? You need to examine yourselves. So you know what your pastor is going to be doing? He's going to be beating himself up this week. He's going to do what I shared Psalm 139 with the folks on Friday. One of my absolute favorite passages of scripture. There's not a one better than others, but I found so much in that Psalm, and I go back to it so often in my life. And you know what? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Right? We sing that song. See if there be any wicked way in me. Now, why would we ask the Lord to do that? So we can get that out. Hey, you know what? I've been holding on to this root of bitterness. I need to call so-and-so and I need to get this straight. Well, they're not church members. So no. Any root of bitterness, you get that out. Anything we're hanging on to, we get that clear. And I tell you what, won't that be nice? Isn't a little bit of spring cleaning nice? You get all the cobwebs out. You get all the nastiness out. You throw it all away. We noticed that with the house. We packed up so much, and we only unpacked the things that were necessary, which means all the clutter is still in a box. Hey. Sin, frustrations, hurts, wrongs, all of those things clutter our lives. You will feel so much better when you take care of those things. Now, that's the sin part. Let's talk about what else clutters up our heart that could distract us. We need to take all those burdens and truly lay them to the Lord's feet. Now, I'm not saying you stop hurting. There's things in our lives that are going to be there. They're always going to hurt a little bit. They are. What I am saying is that you're trusting the Lord and reflecting that in your actions. Father, this is what you've asked me to do, so I'm going to do that. And I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to wring my hands. But Lord, these are the things that you know I'm supposed to do, right? What's the problem? It's this. What's the answer? It's that. And the rest is just logistics, right? It's all about the logistics. Now, sometimes we get hung up in the logistics. We're waiting for the Lord to give an answer. I would love to have an answer for what's going on for everybody who we pray for with cancer. Wouldn't that be great? I went over. I was so excited. I got some pink masks to give to Sister Theta because she comes in with pink masks. And I saw those and I go, I'm going to give those to Sister Theta. And I was over there. I was waiting for her. You know what? I want to stop praying. I want to stop praying for her about cancer. I want to do one really big one where I'd be, thank you, Lord, thank you so. That's what I want. I want one really good one. I don't want many more. I want her to be able to come in and say, hey, good news, everyone. That's what I'm praying for. I wish I had the answers. I wish I could say, hey, listen, Brother Mark Titus, he's going to be on this new experimental treatment for this many weeks, and all he's got to do is get through this many weeks, and he'll be cured. I don't have that. I wish I had that, right? Sometimes the Lord gets us hung on the logistics of things, but what we need to do is while we're waiting for those answers to see what the Lord is going to do, we sit in peaceful trust. Well, it still hurts. Yeah, living hurts. Living does. I'm not saying a world without hurt. I'm saying a world without worry. Don't worry about the logistics. You show up and do the things you know you're supposed to do, right? So sin taken care of, burdens laid properly at the Lord's feet, any misdirections in our lives, we're going to fix those. I'll ask you this. Anybody, you're this kind of Christian? Oh, I need to work on this. And one of these days, I'm going to get real serious about this. This is the week to get real serious about it, right? Well, brother, you're talking about a revival. You know what? When's the wrong time to have revival? Right? When's the wrong time? I've never found a wrong time to have revival. I've had revival in some strange places, right? We went to camp one year. Brother Christmas took us up to a high mountain. We were up there. We looked down on the camp, and I freaked out a little bit, right? It was one of those things where you only take the adults up in that area. We went up there. It was dark. Went there at 10 o'clock is when we started our hike. Walked all the way up to the side of this thing, and we're looking down, and he has his sunlight of fire, and we're all kind of sitting there, and we're passing around some of our prayer requests, and we're passing around some of our concerns, and we're sharing testimony, and you know what? I had revival right there. There was no speaker, there was no fried chicken, there was no pie afterwards, just one long walk down a mountain, and I still had revival. There's never a bad time or a bad place for you to have revival, and I tell you what, schedule one with the Lord this week. This thing I'm holding off, Father, this is the week I give it to you. And you know what? Make sure you apologize for having hung on to it for so long. Lord, I put this off, and I put this off, and I put this off, and I put this off. I'll share this with you. Brother Farmer, getting sick. You know, I love a lot of preachers. But when I look at Brother Farmer, I see that he has a lot of the same burdens I do. And I saw how he got sick, and I saw what probably caused him being sick, and I know that I could very well do the same thing. And brother, that rocked me all the way home. Y'all stopped for ice cream. I drove past it real fast. That shook me. I sat there, I'm thinking in my head, I go, all right, on Monday, what I'm going to do? I'm going to get my meal prep food out stuff, my stuff out. I'm going to go to the Kroger. I'm going to get some sweet potatoes. I'm going to get some asparagus. I'm going to get some broccoli. I'm going to get my chicken. I'm going to get my scale out. I'm going to get this thing done. And I prayed. I prayed that night, Father, please forgive me. I've put this off for a year, getting serious with how I'm treating this body, Lord, that you gave me. Right? You ever sit there and realize that with some of the things you're doing, you're just on borrowed time? I've done that so often where I sit there and say, Lord, the things I'm doing, you should have taken me out of the game a long time for. Right? Some of the sins that you go back to him, Father, this is the 700th time I've asked for forgiveness for this. I have no idea why your suffering is going to be so long for me. Why you're being so long suffering. Why you're being so patient. But Father, thank you. And this is what we're doing. I preached that last week, that we would go to the Father and not just ask that he would help us to behave, but that we would sit there and say, Lord, here's the list of the things that I'm going to behave on. This is the week to get that list penned out, to get your meal prep stuff out, right? To get that entertainment out of your life, to get that decision you've been putting off for the longest time, to get your Bible back out, to sit there and say, all right, Lord, this is how much reading I'm committing to. This is how much prayer I'm committing to. Father, I'm going to stop at this time every day. And you and I, we're going to talk. And Lord, if I don't, wreck me that day. Just cause me to get all upset about it. So I stop and I give you your time, Father. It's all his time. Now's the week to do it. Well, brother, what if I mess up this week? Well, there's next week. Yeah, but what if I just mess up on one day? Well, praise the Lord, you might get another one. Do it again. I talked to some people, they struggle with addiction. And one of the things that they said, and I love this, because it equates to almost every sin you could possibly get stuck with. What I do is I just try to go 5 minutes without doing it, and then 10 minutes, and then an hour, and then a day, and then it stretches on. All I got to do is hit that next mark, right? All I got to do is not do this sin for this long. And you know what? When I get to that point, I push it on beyond that. When I sit there, you know, I'll put it into my shoes. I'll pick on that food thing we all seem to be struggling with, right? Hey, all I've got to do is not eat junk today. Right? And if that's a matter of me, just, I don't have anywhere to go, so I'm going to stay right here. Right? I'm going to get some carrot sticks or something on the way home. That was my biggest problem, is I would stop on the way home from work. Right? Weight loss was always right around the corner, but unfortunately so was the Taco Bell. Right? So you know what? I will drive around that thing. I heard somebody say that they were driving down the road, they see a billboard that had an impure thought. They literally found another way home. To get away from that, this is the week to put that into place. Again, this sermon was not about whether or not we were going to have puffy cake and we were going to have steaks at the Lord's Supper. This is about the seriousness in which we approach it. You know what I love about our church? I love that we laugh. I love that we enjoy serving the Lord. I love the enjoyment we get out of each other. I love to laugh. I don't know if you've noticed that. I love to laugh. Sometimes if I've got nothing else to say, I'll just laugh about that. Like, you idiot, you got nothing to say. You go up there, you speak 240 words a minute, but you come down here, you got nothing. I love to laugh. But there are moments where we approach something with seriousness. Does that mean I can't have joy in my heart? Well, I'm probably going to have some joy in my heart. This is the first time I get to take the Lord's Supper with my church. There's going to be some joy in my heart. There's going to be a smile on my face. Please don't accept a somber spirit from me. Now, I promise I will approach it with all of the seriousness and all of the discipline that it requires. This will not be a time for presidential jokes. This will be more of a time for us to get together with smiles on our faces and tears in our eyes to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much.